And without further ado, we have a special speaker this morning, Sally Bates. If you could all, maybe we could stand. That would be great. You want them to stand? Yeah. Yeah, we can have them stand. All right.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This message has been building for about 3 weeks, and it's kind of got some funny little pieces and parts to it. So here about 3 weeks ago, the worship team was singing that song about goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me, running after. And finally, I was like, just stop. Just sit down. Let it catch you. Hello. Just yield to it. And so from that, there's been a steady bit of an education for me. And so I'm going to impose it on you because it's been a hard one for me to learn, and that is how to yield. So the first thing that happened is I began to see in my mind's eye a roundabout. Many of you familiar with the roundabouts? Yeah, John, you could put one of those pictures up there to help us have a little visual image, but I don't think many of us need the visual image. I think we all, they're putting in another roundabout in Chino Valley, for crying out loud. How many do we need, you know? But this is what the Lord began to talk to me about. That was a really comfortable looking roundabout when I found that picture. But I don't know about you, my roundabout does not look like that. My roundabout has family trying to pass me. There's somebody coming over here from Road 3 South, and then that one's coming from somewhere over by the Baptist Church. And then there's a truck coming the other way. And then there's a truck behind me that wants to get there before everybody else. Roundabout look like your life? Well, I began to see that we kind of build ourselves a spiritual roundabout sometimes. There's a lot of things that come into our life spiritually, isn't there? And it's the natural things that build. Our family is usually the first big roundabout collision that comes flying in from the right-hand side. And if I don't yield, we end up in a collision. If I don't pay attention to who's coming around and making a left-hand turn right in front of me, if I keep my foot on that accelerator, I'm going to have a collision. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of collisions in my life because I didn't take my foot out of the accelerator. So the Lord's just been really dealing with me about the word yield. And it has duplicate meanings in the Hebrew. There's a yield that you get when you plant seeds. It yields of itself. You plant a corn, you get a yield of corn. You plant alfalfa, you're going to get a yield of alfalfa. But that goes for bad things too. We keep planting all kinds of bad seed, guess what we're going to yield? We have to be careful what we speak and what we're planting in that kind of seed, because it will yield good fruit or it will yield bad fruit. But the word that I wanted to bring to you this morning is the one that talks about just waiting. Just waiting a minute. Take your foot out of the accelerator. When we got turned loose back into the world, and they let us come out of hiding for the last year, I think people just hit a high gear, and they forgot how to slow down. We forgot how to fellowship. It was so easy to not come to church. We didn't do that. Thank God we didn't do that. But I've talked to a lot of people that they haven't been to church for months, and they don't fellowship with anybody out of fear or whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to go there. But we forgot how to fellowship. We forgot how to interact with people. Go to the grocery store. It's like everybody wants you to get out of their way. I need to get there and you're in my way. I need to go down that aisle and you're in my way. I actually had an elderly gentleman get behind me in the line, and he kept bumping me with his little cart. And I turned around and I said, well, excuse me, but I really can't go anywhere. And he just stared at me, so I turned back around, so he bumped me again. So I thought, well, there's a few things I could do here. But I'm going to yield. So I just backed my cart up, and I walked around, and I put my cart in back of him, and I said, there you go, sir. I expected him to go, thank you, or I'm sorry, or something. He went, good. And he moved up. And I began to just feel this pressure that we're living. We're just living in a pressure cooker. And so the spiritual roundabout came back. Yield to the right. Yield to the right. Who gets to say what's right? Who gets to say what's right? Absolutely. And so the Holy Spirit's telling me, slow down. And my little self is saying, now wait just a minute. This truck is coming up here, and he's going to get to that roundabout before I do. And then he's going to go, and then he's going to come over here, and then I'm going to be behind him, and I'm going to be 5 minutes late for where I'm trying to get to. So my foot goes into that accelerator. I can get there before he does. And then I thought about that poor little man in the grocery store bumping me with his cart. Yield, yield. Take your foot out of the accelerator and just yield. What are you hearing? What's God speaking to you? And I'll bet for you it'd be like me. It wasn't, yeah, go ahead and hurry. Hurry, you can get there first. I don't think God wants us to live that way. I don't think he wants us to move that way. Would you put that yield sign up there for me, John? When you see a yield sign, what does that mean to you? Slow down. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But that's just the first part. That's just the very first part. Strong's Concordance defines it in a couple of ways. It's to give over, to give up, to assent to. The one assent to is from the root word of a putting to proof. In other words, when we give up our own way and say, I yield to the proof that is in the word that I assent to, I give over. The word. I give my will up because the word has proven itself to me. I assent to the word. I assent to the Holy Spirit. I yield. I wait. I watch. I listen. I'm reminded as a little kid, my mother used to tell me, if I wanted to cross the road, stop, look, and listen. That's a really good spiritual message, too. Just stop, look, listen. Stop, look, listen. And I think we're kind of putting all that on the back burner lately. If I stop, I'm going to not get where I need to be. I'm not going to get done what I need to get done. Something's going to fall through the cracks. If I look, I get upset. because I have a tendency to look around and see what's going on around me and with other people. And heaven help us if we watch the news. You know? So just stop. Turn it off. Just stop. Look. Look at what's going on around you. Look at the people that are in your life. What's happening to them? Listen to what they're saying. Not with their mouth, but with their heart. Lately, I hear people say a lot of things with their mouth, but I know that's not what's in their heart. We've forgotten how to fellowship. So, something began to cross my mind about what do we actually need to yield to? Now, for me, the hardest little lesson that I've had is yielding to my husband. When he says, that won't work, and I'm like, oh, I think it will. And as soon as you leave, I'm going to prove to you that it'll work. And when I was a little kid, my dad would say, you can't do that. See, I didn't hear, don't do that. I heard, I can. I mean, I know I can do that. Don't say me I can't. I know I can. Don't ride that horse. He will buck you off. No, he won't. I know he won't because I already rode him several times while you weren't looking. That's, you know, it's that pressing down on that accelerator instead of yielding and stepping back and saying, well, okay, maybe that would work for me, but maybe it's not going to work for him. Or my kids, or my grandkids, or my great-grandkids. I don't get to be the boss of all that. And I'm not real happy about that, as you probably have figured out if you know me very well, because I thought when I got to be this old that I was going to be the wise one on the hill that everybody came to for sage advice. And my brother said, no, you're just old. Sometimes you just get old. They don't want to hear your opinion. They don't want to hear your truth. So you have to learn to yield. Otherwise, you're going to have that head-on collision with somebody that you really love. And you don't want to be in a collision with them. So what else do we yield to? Chad was in that time frame was talking about yielding to authority. I had never heard that in my whole life. Yielding to authority. You submit. You give up. You throw in the towel. But to yield to authority, I sat there and I went, wow. You know, all I've heard is we take authority. I take authority over this. I take authority over that. You know what? We don't take anything. It is given to us. It's a gift. It's a gift that we got because of the stripes that he bore, because of him going to the cross, because of that new covenant we have. It was part of the gift. If I yield to that first, before I go take an authority, I wonder how much would work better. I take authority over my body, you'd be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Father, I yield to those stripes. I am reminded of the price you paid for my healing. I yield to that healing. I yield to those stripes. I yield to the authority to take authority over my body and say, you be healed. But see, I figured out we're not doing it wrong. We just left out a step. I forgot to yield first and then take authority. And at that point, you can cast out demons and see people healed, and you see all kinds of things begin to manifest in your life because you first said, well, wait, I get that. because I have him. I can move in him because he bought me that place there first. I hear people a lot of times, well, I prayed and I didn't get healed. I prayed, it didn't work. I prayed, I asked God, did everything I knew to do, and I'm still sick. Well, the worst thing you can do is say, well, then God must want me to be sick, because that's a lie from the pit of hell. He doesn't want you to be sick. So do I press through and start taking authority and commanding things? I think that's a good thing to do. But I think first I need to yield and say, Father, I yield to your authority. I'm hidden in Christ, and therefore I have authority. I don't take it from anybody. You gave it to me, and therefore I rise up in it, and I walk in it, and I move in it. Okay? Sometimes I see pretty clearly that we're in a kind of a spiritual roundabout. A time and a place when it's important to yield ourselves to time with the Lord. Quality time. Quality time with the Lord. I'm too quick to just throw a quick prayer out there. Or if I'm driving and the worship music going, I can worship the Father. But I tend to be pretty busy whether I'm spending time with the Lord or not. And I think God is bringing us to a place where he says, yield, yield. Come sit over here with me, quietly. Let's visit. Stop, look, listen, yield. Time to read his word. Not looking for an answer to a problem. Not finding a promise to stand on and demand that God move because the word says this. Just time to just yield and stop and give over to the word. It has proven itself true. Yield to it. Accept it. Think about it. Let it settle in your spirit what the word is saying to us. God leads. He doesn't push. God's never pushed me into anything. He has led me to a lot of places. Now, that's not to say that 100% of the time that's true, because if I think about it real for a while, I probably could find a couple of places in my life where God may have had a hand in pushing me along with a little, But he prefers to lead. And it's when those times when I failed to yield and failed to just really sit quiet and listen to him that I've gotten myself in the worst messes of my life. Last week, Chad was looking at the difference between David and Saul. And he brought out 1 Samuel 16:11, where Samuel asked Jesse, are all your sons here? Now, what if he had just kept going through that little, can I say, roundabout? When they got to the end of what sons were there, thought, oh, I must have missed God. I better go back and do this again. But he said, are all your sons here? And what about when Samuel was on his way to make a sacrifice? And Saul was supposed to wait for him. And he got tired of waiting. I've gotten tired of waiting on God sometimes. I thought, you know, maybe he really just wants me to do this because I do know how. Or maybe he's just waiting for me to get up and do what I know how to do. But something in my spirit, man, was like, whoa, 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 whoa. But I didn't yield. I just put my foot on the accelerator and went on and did what I already know how to do. I can do a lot of things. I can get a lot of things done. fact, I've gotten a lot of things done that probably shouldn't have been done. I want to look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7. You know, we get to a place where we think, well, I've done everything I know to do. I've prayed every prayer I need to pray. I've done everything I know to do, and my life is still a mess. What's going on, God? What do I need to do differently? What should I pray differently? And it's like, just hush. Just yield. Just yield. Listen to me. I'm not through talking yet. And I went, well, you paused for a minute there. I thought you were done. No, he wasn't. I come to church. I read the word. I've had good counsel. I pray diligently every day. And my life is still kind of a mess right now. I don't get it. Did you yield? Did you yield? Did you stop? Did you look? Did you really, really listen? Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Give a prayer and thanksgiving. Be grateful. Let your request be known to God, and the peace will guard your hearts. Do you know what the number one effective weapon we have against the enemy of our soul is? I taught this on Wednesday night. It's peace. It's peace. It's not prayer. Prayer's awesome. It's good. Do it all the time. Bible says pray without ceasing. But if I am in peace, in that shalom, nothing's broken, nothing's pushing, nothing's shoving. It's just shalom. It's a peaceful place where nothing rattles me. Nothing gets in your space. The enemy can't touch you. He can't, listen to what I'm saying, he can't touch you when you are in peace. When you're in peace, you can love, you can find joy, you can be a tool that God wants to use. All of the fruit and all of the gifts are able to manifest in your life much more effectively if you just stay in peace. How do I do that? When you know what's all breaking loose out there and the world is upside down and nobody wants to do what I think they should be doing, how do I stay in peace? You yield. You step back. Put your spiritual hand up and you say, just wait a minute. Let me think about this. Let me pray about this. Let me talk to Father. Let me go talk to Daddy about this. And I'm promised the minute you do that, you will start the peace to flow back into your life. But we have to take our foot off of the accelerator of life. Peace doesn't require absolute silence or complete stillness, but it does require reaching inside and connecting to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, meekness, patience, self-control, faithfulness. Those are all in here. They came in when the Holy Spirit came in. When the Holy Spirit comes in, when you get born again and seals you to Father God, you get everything because it's all inherent in Him. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the gifts of the Spirit. They're His fruit, His gifts. He brought them and set up camp right in the big middle of who you are. With all of your roots and all of your warts and all of your nasties and all of the stuff you're going to mess up and have messed up and will mess up again. Unless you're perfect. I'm getting there. I'm only perfect in that place where God perfected me. I am sanctifying the rest of it. Because I love Him and I want to be like Him. So I yield to the Spirit, yield to the gifts, yield to the fruit. remember years ago, I was sitting under Bruce Montroy over at Word of Life Assembly, precious, precious man of God. And he, during the course of the conversation, he reminded me that I probably needed to exercise some more patience. And I said, well, yeah, but I'm not going to pray for that. And he said, well, why not? I said, well, because, you know, if you pray for patience, then you get tested and you get tribulation, and then so that it exercises your patience. Because that's what I've been told all my life. That's what happens. And he looked at me and he just laughed. He said, oh, that's okay. He said, that's funny. My Bible said it's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, I knew that. I did know that. I did know that. I'd read it 100 times. But it took him looking at me going, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Just ask the Holy Spirit to stir up patience in you. It's already in there. Exercise it. Talk about it. Talk to him about it. Yield. Oh, okay. How about this one? I can't pay my bills. I'm living from hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck. I make enough money to live a supplied life, but at the end of the month, it seems like it's all gone. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:10. And God, who continually supplies seed for the sower and bread for the eating, will supply you with seed and multiply it, and will cause your almsgiving to yield a plentiful harvest. What are you doing with your seed? There's an old, old story about a cowboy who had one bowl of food left. One bowl of food. And he could either eat it and die, or he could take some of the seed and plant it and yield a harvest. But in his mind, he was thinking, well, yeah, but I don't have time. I don't have time. Because it has to grow first. And then I have to harvest it. And then I have to fix it. And the Lord said, what if you take part of it and plant it? What if you take part of it and eat it? And watch me work a miracle in that seed. Now that's a biblical story. I switched it around because I used to preach all the time to cowboys, so it worked better that way. But what are you doing with your seed? Do you trust God, really trust God, to take some of that seed that you think you have to live on? Because if I do that, then I won't have enough to pay for this. With regard to tithes or giving a first fruit offering to the Lord, there's no curse if you don't tithe. That was broken when Christ cut that new covenant. We don't have a curse on us if we don't tithe, but we are blessed with the giving. We are blessed with the giving. Let's look at Malachi 3, 8 through 11. And this is in regard to tithe, but it's Old Testament, which didn't Christ come to fulfill the law? Okay, so let me read this to you and think about this in the New Covenant framework. Try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And in verse 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not devour the fruit of your ground. Pat and I learned a really, really amazing lesson long years ago about the enemy devouring fruit. Pat was in business, he was in construction. We had a young man fresh out of high school that was working for us. Hold on. Sorry. Getting kind of dry. And he was driving a huge vehicle, pulling a very big trailer. And when I'm saying big, it's construction big. And like I said, he's just out of high school. He's not real learned in the ways of some of this stuff. So he was coming up, if you're familiar with Prescott, the truck route. And he made a left-hand turn. Well, there was a guy coming the other way in a Volkswagen. And he didn't pay attention. He didn't yield. He was just going to go zip right on past this truck when it turned. Well, he didn't realize and wasn't paying attention. There's a trailer behind that truck. So he took his Volkswagen, whoop, right under the trailer and took the whole top off of his Volkswagen. So Pat was on a hunting trip up at the Strip. I had no way to get a hold of him. I get a phone call, said, Lee just was in an accident. There was a guy decapitated. It's just horrible mess. Where's Pat? And I said, well, Pat's not here. I'll be there just as quick as I can get there. My first trip was going to be to the hospital. So I'm getting dressed, and all of a sudden this scripture came back to me. Proverbs 6, 30 and 31. If you find or catch a thief robbing from you, he has to pay it back sevenfold. From the substance of his own house. So who comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy? What does John 10:10 say? All of a sudden I went, you lion booger, you are not going to steal from us. You're not going to kill that boy in the name of Jesus. And I mean, from there, I just erupted into prayer. And I know the Holy Spirit was guiding me because I was still shaken about having to get to town and deal with somebody with a decapitated body. I ended the prayer by saying, you know what? If you steal what it looks like you're stealing, you're going to owe us a lot. I mean a lot, a lot, a lot. So be prepared because I'm holding you to it, devil. By the time I got to town, no, the guy wasn't decapitated. Something pushed him down in the seat. But the top went off of his Volkswagen. He had a lot of damage. The insurance was going to cover everything. Lee was perfectly fine. He was calm. He said, well, I just feel bad about the truck. The truck was fixed within a few days. Very minimal damage to the truck. I went, whoa, that worked. Now, how much damage was done that wasn't paid for? And I ended up with several hundred dollars that had to come out of our pocket, out of Pat's paycheck. And I said, okay, but you still owe us that. Glad you got caught with the rest, but you still owe me this. And I put it on my refrigerator, and every day I quoted that scripture over it. You tired of the devil messing with your seed? What are you doing with your seed? Don't let the devil take it. But if he sneaks in and he gets a hold of some of your seed, you hold him accountable. He can't have it. It's not his. It's yours. Get it back. Seven times. And Pat and I have had that happen over and over and over again in our life. I just did, Pastor Lee. Now, I want to clarify something. This isn't a replacement theory thing. Okay, we know, yes, we have authority. Yes, we are healed. I mean, don't change over your stance, your right standing, and start doing this instead. Just meld this in with where you're at. Just try this a few times. When you're dealing with your kids, I got four little great-grandsons, and they're all boy and part demon right now. I mean, you know, when your great-grandson kicks you in the shin and tells you he's going to bust you in the chops, that's not fun. And it's not, and I'm just like, huh? You're supposed to love me. I'm Gigi. That's some authority taking time. That's time when I don't care whose mama or daddy you belong to, you're going to get a busted bottom, kid. We don't do that with Gigi. Taking that back. And then I began to pray differently over those little boys. Because before I was praying all the granny prayers. Bless him, Lord. Bring him a good wife. Bless him in school. Give him lots of good friends. And yeah, and then all of a sudden it was, you take your hands off of my little great-grandson. You got no business with that boy. He's called and set apart. He belongs to the family of God, and you're not messing with him. Oh, next time I was down there, it didn't work. But it will. It didn't change him yet, but it will. You know why I know that? Said so. Because this is what I have assented to. This is what I've decided to yield to. To stop, to look, to listen, to wait a minute. Somebody wants to go through the roundabout ahead of me, take your foot off the accelerator, move over, and let him have it. Now, some of you guys don't like that very good. Some of you gals don't like that very good. Some of you remember my little friend Sally Greenwald that used to go to church here. 80 miles an hour was her speed limit. It didn't matter what the sign said, her speed limit was 80 miles an hour. And she would not ride in my car with me. No, because you don't know how to drive. I'm like, okay. So I would learn to pray hard and fast when I went any place with Sally. And I'll tell you real funny about that. We were over in Sedona, and have you guys seen those new golf carts that look like miniature cars? They've got a Model T Ford and all kinds of really cool stuff, and it's a golf cart. And I saw one, they were pulling it over to the golf course. I went, oh, look at that, Sally. She said, yeah, that's cool. So she got gas, and she ran in to find the guy that owned it and talked to him. So she came back out, and I said, did you ask him how much it cost? Because that's what I would have asked him. She said, no, I just asked him how fast it would go. There wasn't a lot of yield in my little friend Sally. She was a go-getter, prayer warrior. I mean, you had a good friend if you had her in your corner. I miss her. But there was no yield in her. None. Because she knew where the accelerator was in her life. And she was in charge of her life. Now, she would pray and she would talk to God about her life. But did you catch what I said? She would pray and talk to God about her life. If your life isn't God's life, you might fall short a little bit when you start casting out demons and taking authority and healing the sick. If you haven't yielded, if you haven't really yielded, you don't get to take authority that you don't have. The sons of Sceva found that out. But if you just yield, you've got it. It's all in there. It's yours for the taking. It's a gift, one of hundreds. There's a whole book of gifts. And I bet all you can name are the ones that are listed in the gifts of the Spirit. But there's so many more. He's given us so much that I don't think we even have an idea what the tip of the iceberg really is. But we're learning. We're hearing. We're yielding to the Word. We're yielding to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the more we do that, the better we can hear. If I stop and look, I hear better. You guys, does that work for you? I mean, serious. If I stop and look, I hear better. If I just put my foot on the accelerator and I'm like, no, I can do this. Something didn't click. I'm not saying change what you're doing. Take authority. Pray for the sick. Go evangelize. Do the things that God called you to do. But before you go barreling in there, yield. Say, okay, hold on a second. I want to hear what God wants me to do here. Because sometimes he'll tell you, do not do that. And a really sweet little sister in the Lord will come by and tell you, oh, I had a vision and the Lord told me that you should do this. And before I was wise enough to know that sometimes people pray what they want to for you, and then they apply that and say, well, God told me. That's just yield to the Holy Spirit. Just wait a minute. Is that you, God? If I would have done that, I would have skipped number two marriage that lasted for 3 months and was horrible because a sweet little sister came and said, the Lord told me this is the one for you. I was brand new, just barely getting back into church, just barely learning about how to hear God, but I thought she knew all that. So I listened without yielding, without waiting. And it cost me dearly. The book of Ecclesiastes speaks of a time for everything. There's a time to fight and a time for peace. There's a time to throw rocks and a time not to throw rocks. I like that one really good. I thought that was really a good one. Because sometimes I just like to go throw rocks. If I'm just really, really mad, I just like to go kick dirt. But there's a time for that, and then there's a time for not doing. There's a time for all of these things that we're learning in this church. This church has been a haven of safe thinking. You know that scripture that says you have power, love, and a sound mind. Do you know what that word sound translates out in the Hebrew? A safe place. A safe harbor. You have power and love and a safe place to think. If you'll yield, wait a minute, let the safe place kick in. And then, excuse me, go kick butt. I mean, the devil's out there doing all kinds. Go get him. Get him. Don't put up with his garbage. We don't have to. We don't have to, but before you go doing that, yield, yield. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself who gave you all of that authority, who bought you that healing, that grace supplies all of your needs because of who he is. They're yours. Yes, for the taking, but don't take them unless they've been given to you first. Okay? The worship team like to come back up, and I want to read a couple of scriptures while they are coming. Psalm 81:11, but my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not yield to me. Luke 9:35, then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, my chosen one. Listen and obey and yield to him. Romans 12:10. As for brotherly love, be affectionate to one another. In matters of worldly honor, yield to one another. Sometimes it's not a hill to die for. Sometimes it just yield and back away and say, okay. James 3:17, however, the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield, full of compassion and good deeds, and without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Well, I'm working on that trace part, but God's not finished with me yet. And my husband's saying, thank you, Jesus. God gave me the most patient man on this planet because he knew he would have to be the most patient man on this planet. But he's done that for you guys too. He's gifted you with someone so special. And if things aren't that way in your life right now, just yield, pray, watch, and wait. Yield to the healing stripes of Jesus. Yield to planting your seed on good ground. Yield over your foot on the accelerator. Just take a breath. Just yield. Put that in practice and see if it doesn't help you with your walk as we go through this mess of a world that we live in. Amen. Thank you.